many years ago, my children were young. I had two children who had a severe reaction to vaccines that they were given. And it was a very frightening experience to see my children made so ill by what I believed and my doctor told me was for their benefit and to protect them. And so it set me on a journey to find more information. And I started to read and to research, and on that journey, I met many amazing people in the medical profession, in scientific profession, and other parents who'd also experienced severe vaccine reactions and injuries, who witnessed them in their children. And the more I read and the more I researched and the more I discovered on that, on that journey, I learned that vaccinations come with a lot of risks and side effects, and that people aren't told in advance that could happen. It's a very frightening experience to think that you're doing the best thing for your child, and then to see your child react in a way that that is an extreme reaction, and that actually can affect the child's health for the rest of his or her life. And many people have had that experience. So mine happened many years ago, back in 1962, and then again in 1977. So it's been a long journey of discovery and learning about what are vaccines, what is in them, how are vaccines made? What happens when you inject these very complex biochemical substances into the human body, and especially into children in their early years critical phases of brain development, which happen in the first 3 years of life? So it's all been an unfolding process of learning and digging deeper and digging deeper, and understanding what the consequences can be when we take for granted that an advised medical intervention can actually hurt our children. Yeah, I did, because my son sustained a permanent brain damage. So there's a big inner struggle, because you see that your child struggles with basic things that most children can easily do, that is learn language, learn how to speak, learn how to tell colors, comprehend more complex issues. So yeah, you do have guilt. But at the same time, if you didn't know in advance that that was a possibility, and you blindly simply accepted something innocently that was told to you would be the best thing you could do for your child, you know, you can't beat yourself up forever. It becomes simply something that happened in life and something that you learn from. So for me, it became a lifelong learning process. So it's been 35 years of learning about this issue and turning that into benefit for other people, to publish information and research from credible scientific and medical sources for other parents who are looking for information. And I think one of the big lessons for me from that, from the experience of seeing what happened to both of my children, is that recognizing that in our decision-making, we need to use more than just our intellectual capability. It's one thing to have knowledge in your head. It's another thing to also listen to your heart. And in both instances, I had inner feelings of, I'm not sure about this. I don't know if I feel good about this. But you know, most people and most parents defer to the expert. If the expert in the white coat says this is the best thing that you can do for your child, you tend to override that internal feeling that's giving you little signals of be careful, be cautious. And so I like to urge people to listen both to their heart and put it together with what they know intellectually, you know. So put your head and your heart together before you make any kind of a decision that involves a medical intervention like vaccination, because once you've injected those complex substances into the child's body, and if something goes wrong, you cannot deactivate what's going on, you cannot remove them, and you cannot neutralize what is happening. Well, my whole life has become a service to helping other parents get credible, good information so that they can make an informed decision about what they're going to do before they just go ahead and proceed with this medical procedure just because somebody says this is what they should do. And so, you know, self-forgiveness, you can only feel guilty for so long before you maybe need to turn it around and, you know, make it a journey in your life that helps other people. Wake other people up. The society needs to recognize that our children are in great jeopardy, and that there's a huge risk that many, many children will never be able to lead normal lives because early on in life, they have been injected with chemical substances, biochemical substances that have altered their immune system function, altered their brain function, irrevocably changed, not for the better, how their all of their capabilities. And so, you know, we're looking at a really serious situation here. And I've been involved for a long time in education, in trying to help parents understand what can happen when they vaccinate their children too soon, too close together, too many vaccines. Where we are now, which is we are looking in 10 or 15 years, every second child will be at risk of developing autism. Okay, so this is way bigger than me or my children or their reactions or my son's brain injury that he suffered. It's way bigger than us, those individuals, myself as an individual or my children. Okay, they're already adults. They have lives of their own. We're now looking at the destruction of an entire generation of children. And if the society doesn't wake up to what is being imposed on them, how do we continue as a society when we no longer have viable children that can grow into productive adults to lead normal lives? We're at an absolute critical crisis. And you want me to cry? I mean, I could cry for all the children that I've seen damaged in the 35 years I've been doing this work, catastrophically damaged. Children who will never be able to function in any meaningful way. Families absolutely destroyed by the impact of vaccines on their children. And meanwhile, we have a medical profession and governments who are not only ignoring the crisis, but they are completely, they are keeping a lid on it, on the corruption and the fraud that has existed in the science that has allowed this to continue on and on. So, you know, my tears for my own children were shed a long time ago. I have no more to shed there. My tears are now for the children who are being devastated and the families who are in suffering now. And what will we do when 2032 comes around and every second child is autistic? What will we all do as a society? Where will we be then? How do we rally the troops? How do we raise the flags, the red flags, to wake up society to say somehow this has got to stop? I don't know. All I know is one day at a time, one person at a time. That's all I know. And the 2032, that's not my numbers. This is from Dr. Stephanie Seneff. I don't know if you've know of her. She's very well known. She's an MIT researcher. Her specialty is in analyzing glyphosate, which is the main chemical in Roundup that is used in the agriculture of GMO foods. And she is the one who she's done the numbers and she's done the research. And according to the trajectory of how autism is progressing, we are right now, 2016 in April, one in 45 children is on the autism spectrum. So the trajectory of how this is increasing, according to her research, takes us to 2032, where now we're at one in 45 children. At that time, she predicts it'll be one every second child. How does a society survive when we are absolutely destroying the life and the future of our children? How do we survive? What happens? What happens to humans, to the human society? Do robotics take over then? Where do we go? And so in the work that you're doing, interviewing people and learning so much through Ty Bollinger, you know, that that you would be preparing for a time when perhaps you have your own children and you've received the benefit of all these people that have gone before you who have made these discoveries and have said, here, take a look at this information, and hopefully you'll be able to make a much better informed decision for your children than I was able to make for mine. So that's my hope. That's what keeps me happy inside, is knowing that the information that we put out and encourage people to really do their homework and research and read up, that that's what's going to make a difference. So we still have to maintain hope, despite the darkness that looms. Well, this is a very common situation. People believe that by vaccinating, they're doing the best thing for their children, that this is what's going to protect their children from these various diseases. And then something happens. Something goes wrong, and the child sustains a brain injury. And then, of course, there is the guilt. Often parents don't even recognize that because the doctors deny that vaccines can cause brain injuries that can then lead to the constellation of symptoms that is known as autism. And so often parents don't even realize that it's vaccinations that were at the root of what happened to their child. But when they, if they do delve into it and they do discover that that's what's happened, there are many alternative biomedical treatments that can help children. You know, I know of many families where they've worked really hard over time and they've been able to reverse those injuries. So that's what happens. You can't, like I said earlier, you can't continue to beat yourself up with guilt. Take that energy and move it forward and discover that there is an amazing world of alternative treatments that can help your child. If you talk about Dr. Sherry, you know, Tenpenny and Dr. Mercola, we're all trying to put out the same message: caution to parents, caution around vaccines, and understand that the way the situation is right now, in Canada, for example, I have to give you the Canadian example. I think it's even a little bit more in the United States, but here, by the time a child is 18 months old in Canada, that child can receive 39 doses of 14 vaccines. These are complex biochemical substances injected into the child's body that can derail brain development, that are injected during critical times, critical windows of brain growth in the young child. And the result can be brain inflammation, which leads to encephalitis, which leads to brain injury, which leads to the constellation of symptoms that are then described as autism, learning disabilities, and all of that whole range. So what is being done to children, we recognize all of the alternative practitioners who have gotten involved in this understand what is happening. And what now needs to happen is, how does this information and knowledge and acknowledgement of what's happening affect mainstream monopoly medicine that is controlling the message? How do we bridge this gap? You know, and we have 100% media blackout right now. The media, the mainstream media, will absolutely not publish anything about this issue. And so we must rely right now on all of the alternative media and social media to be able to get the message out, so that parents can actively make decisions based on accurate information. You know, we have emerging science that's been coming out for the last 30 years that that says the immune system is intimately involved in brain development. Immune cells are involved in brain development and brain growth. When we hyperstimulate the immune system, we hyperstimulate the immune system within the brain, and we can, and that can move toward brain injury. How do we stop this from happening and protect all of the beautiful brains in our beautiful young children? How do we protect them? We protect them by providing parents with information so they can make an informed decision.